The recorder's on.
Okay, thank you. All right, I'd like to call to order the August 2nd meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Beth, do we have anybody on the phone?
We do not, I'm sorry. We have no public comments tonight.
All right. Assuming you guys have had the opportunity of reviewing the agenda, do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, thank you. Same with the minutes. Have you had the opportunity of reviewing the minutes? And if so, do we have a motion to approve?
A motion we approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, thank you. All right. Doesn't look like we have anyone for public comment, so I guess we can go ahead and jump into the agenda. Old business, a continuation item for the last several months has been the discussion of the batteries used for electricity storage. John had just provided us yesterday with some thoughts around various options. John, quick question. So all of these would assume that nothing is done in the setback as far as what you're proposing. How does that kind of line up with generators, for example? I mean, are generators?
Generators are not allowed in the setback either unless it's on a corner lot. And then on that corner lot where there's a 10-foot side setback, they're allowed to be in that first 5 feet.
Okay. And then, so how do we deal with the issue of, like, existing properties wanting to add this technology? You know, given we're, you know, a pretty mature town, you know, from a standpoint of availability.
Well, I mean, I put all these out here because I figured there'd be a pretty lively discussion about it. I mean, it just depends on what you want. I've seen some mounted in garages already. I don't know that they're all necessary to be mounted on the house. Certainly, there is at least one location on a house that you should be able to mount these batteries, and they don't impede the setbacks. However, most of the time, all the services are centered around wherever the electrical service comes into the house. So, will it affect someone from, or keep someone from mounting batteries on their house? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
There again, is this something that we want, though? And from the discussions that we had several months ago, it didn't seem like we were really too keen on it. That's why I was
kind of went conservative.
Yeah.
And then, how, remind us, how deep are these batteries typically?
The ones I've seen, they're like 8-10 inches deep.
Okay. All right, so any thoughts on the topic?
So I put the 6 foot high there too, was so that it shouldn't be too visible from the street.
Right.
Yeah, I just have a couple quick comments just to get on the record. This section on solar energy equipment, that came about now probably about 10, 11 years ago. And the North Carolina state passed a statute, it's 160D-914, called Solar Collectors, where they limit the ability of the government to regulate solar collectors. And so this was actually written for Curie Beach within the parameters as established by 160D-914. So what I did, and this is just for the record, I went back in to see if they had added anything about batteries, because this is just dealing with the collectors, the solar panels and all that sort of thing, and they haven't changed it, so there's no reference to batteries or ability to restrict batteries or anything like that.
And then, John, from a Carolina Beach standpoint, I mean, are they allowing in the setback? Do you know? Do you think, like, from when that one example that we have on Ocean, would you assume that's not in the setback?
I would assume anything that's built in Carolina Beach right now and it sticks outside of it is probably in the setback. They're building just as large a footprint as they possibly can everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think that as battery technology keeps changing, to put parameters around specific sizes, I don't see how we could, because it's gonna morph into different things. You have the ones like you see on Ocean, the Tesla battery. It's like four of them on the back of the house, and they have other similar type batteries that vary a little bit in size, and you get multiples of. Or you would have like a, you know, the batteries would be like in a little storage shed. I've seen them where they're like in a, like a generator box almost. The storage batteries could be like that. So I think the discussion is, do we want to really promote this technology to be, to think about being green, or do we put guardrails around it? And
right.
And I think that's what we need to discuss, because I mean, I think, you know, all due respect to John, I mean, he's right about certain things, but as we talk about the technology and we talk about being green, we have to think and have the conversation. All this is going to change, just in with panel designs, with battery technology over the next few years. So I think if we limit to what we do, we may be unwinding this thing in the future.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing, if I recall, came up just because of your observation of that property on Ocean Boulevard, right?
Well, it was an omission. It didn't have anything for batteries. And mm-hmm. then if we're going to talk about that, should we have something? But, you know, there's just a for lots of different reasons, the technology is moving and changing rapidly. So if somebody's going to go green, to put solar panels in and do the batteries, how do we need to regulate that? Mm-hmm. I think can we require them to put it in a garage? Well, that's a possibility if the manufacturers would allow that. Or codes, codes and manufacturer requirements can vary to what the installation can be.
So there is a way of still being able to do it.
Yes, I mean, you could go with different. This is just an additional cost of installation. Because mm-hmm. if your service is on the side with your panel, then you're just paying for extra wire.
And it, when you're from a context standpoint, are you really talking about a setback issue, or are you just talking about external appearance altogether?
I think you're talking about both. I mean, there's, if a house is, you know, used up the whole space on the lot, then you're in a setback issue.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'd have to put it inside the garage.
Right. But otherwise,
you could put it outside.
So you're thinking it's not an appearance issue, it's really just a setback issue.
I think right now it's a little bit of a status. You know, if you want to spend that kind of money, it's very impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not talking about like you could spend $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
What's up? Okay.
Steve.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I think it's a matter of consistency here. I mean, I think the point about external generators is a good one. I mean, there's a reason we have the 5-foot setback. We've been pretty consistent throughout the history of the town. My understanding is not granting exceptions to the, you know, to the setback rules because of emergency vehicle access and fire and a bunch of other things. There are, as Tony says, many options. As I've looked into batteries, put them in the garage, put them in a storage room that you may have out back. I have a storage room behind my garage that's underneath the house. There are many options now for batteries, and we're only going to see more and more people put in battery backups. So I think we are in a position where we just, my feeling is we need to remain consistent with what we allow in the setback and not allow in the setback. I don't think it's going to prevent anyone from installing solar batteries in the future. They'll have to find a solution. Somebody wants a generator, they find a solution to where they can put an outside generator in, or Unfortunately, you can't, period. But, you know, I've seen generators run their wiring all the way around the house to the other side where the panel is because they don't have any room for it in the setback. So, and John's suggestion of no higher than 6 feet makes sense only from a visual, you know, standpoint. And I don't think anybody wants to start replacing batteries that are up 12 feet high on the side of the building anyway.
Right.
You know, I was just reading about batteries, and I guess some of the batteries do emit gases and get quite hot. And so I'm just reading right here that for some of the batteries that people are using, they're recommending not putting it in garage or closets or that sort of thing.
It's a choice, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, of what type of battery you're using and where you're putting it. But, you know, Tesla and most of the batteries that I've looked up are all, you know, designed to be put inside a garage.
Could be put inside, yeah.
But lithium batteries, more than likely.
Yeah. I mean, that brings up a whole other issue from a fire department perspective and dealing with these batteries and future fires in electric vehicles and now batteries within the home. And my only other comment is, this is in the solar energy area, but there are people who are putting in batteries now in lieu of an outside generator. Yeah. Batteries are being charged off the grid.
Right.
And so you can get, depending on how many batteries you want to put in, you can get 48, 72 hours or more in terms of battery backup in your house and not have to have a generator.
The new electric vehicles can be used as your battery too.
Right. Yeah. So it's not just a solar, you know, issue. I mean, I don't think it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Where one would put the regulation, but yeah, we're just going to see more and more of them, I say.
Yep.
Especially in a town like here.
Yeah, I was going to mention when Tony was talking right after him that, I mean, we're talking about setback. The setback requirement is already in there as number 6.2, right? We're adding onto that about the height or, you know, where it's mounted. We're really not discussing in John's red proposal here changing the setback requirement.
Right, right.
We already have a setback requirement. And Tony, I agree with things you were saying, but the way you were presenting it was that we're trying to regulate the green energy aspect of this. And we're not. We already have a regulation. If somebody wants to do green energy, they've got to fit within the existing town regulations. Like Dennis was saying, there's plenty of options. Pick an option that works. If you've got 20 acres, yeah, put your batteries wherever you want. But if not, you've got to figure out how to do it.
Well, the whole reason I even mentioned it is technology is going to change. Say if we decided not to get rare earth material from China, mm-hmm. and we have to go to a different mechanism to build batteries. It could change the size and components and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the reason I mentioned it, not because of, you know, anything to do with our setbacks. If the technology, the product changed to the point where it became bigger, different look, is that just something we would have to readdress in the future?
Maybe you can't have it.
Well, I mean. You know, there is a push, you know, as we all know, that we become more green and do these things. So it's going to be inevitable. We're going to have to think about that.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. And absent, you know, your example about, you know, utilizing, you know, or being reliant on China's technology and so forth. I mean, over time, things tend to get smaller as opposed to bigger. So
we hope, you know, but, you know, there's no guarantees.
Depends on your supply.
With certain things right now.
Right.
So. Yeah, I personally support number 3. I think the danger of number option 2 is that starts to get into regulating the architectural design and painting of residential properties, and I think that's getting in dangerous areas right there. So I would, you know, when we start talking about color schemes for exterior type of thing, so I would support option 1.
Just one comment.
Yes, sir.
This is a development regulation, so you have to go through the review and report to town council, and they'll have to have a legislative hearing, so just keep that in mind.
Yes, sir.
Like what you might want to do tonight, if you agree on something, is to have it brought back next next month for a formal report.
Okay.
Would you agree that option two, when you start talking about painted the same color scheme, starts to kind of fringe on that state prohibition for regulating aesthetics related residential properties?
Yeah, it does brush up against that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't like that idea.
Yeah. Well, there's already mentioned in the solar energy ordinance about painting anything that's attached the same color. That's why I included that.
I mean, it brushes up against it, but I don't mm-hmm. think it's a major.
Okay.
So, from a solar standpoint, it already requires that, John?
Yeah, it's supposed to have some conduit or something running down the side of the house, and technically you're supposed to paint that same color.
Just the conduit itself. Okay.
People probably wouldn't want to paint over their Tesla symbol.
I don't think it makes a big deal. That's part of the reason I installed that 6 foot height in there also. Yeah,
right.
I don't think anybody wants to look out their kitchen window and see batteries sitting on the side.
Agreed.
And I'd also point out section 5, which has a lot of safeguards built into it.
Right.
Are we ready for a motion?
So, Jim, any comment on this?
No, the setback would be my main concern, and it's not even really an issue.
Yep.
As long as it's, we've all, in the surveys over the years and the land use plan and everything, there's been a positive outlook as far as green. So, if anything, rather than be against it, we should try to make it work within the parameters that we're given.
Yeah. So in summary, I mean, from an option one standpoint, what we're basically stating is that it's fine to mount them on the side of the building as long as it doesn't go higher than 6 feet, as long as there's setback opportunities to do so. Mm-hmm. Otherwise...
I just have one question for John. Is there anything in the National Electrical Code that you're aware of that would require us to mount it at a height where we push it up above the 6 feet?
I don't know why there would be, but
I mean,
expert on that idea.
Like, what, there could be for, like, you know, certain electrical devices have to be
flood zone.
In a flooded area, you have to be above so high above the ground level that may push it up above. Well, there's a lot of things around that, you know.
A flood zone for sure, but you're not going to run into that except on the ocean front. All of our ocean fronts high enough to where if they can't mount it within 6 feet, then probably don't need to be there to live.
Right.
I have another question. This option that you're looking at would basically mean that you cannot put these batteries on the rear of the house, correct? Because it says side.
Yeah, that's a good catch.
I think by side, John, you meant like the wall, right? mm-hmm. You didn't mean...
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so maybe a different word.
So,
on the exterior.
Yeah.
Well, that would
probably not the front, though.
Yeah,
right?
Probably not the front. Side or back. So, side or back exterior.
Side. Side. The sides and rear of the service structure.
Side and rear.
Mm-hmm. Sides and rear.
And I actually don't understand why we have to have the last sentence statement about and may not project into the setback. Because in number two, right above it, we say must comply with all setback requirements. So why say it again?
I'll put it in there so that it's clear.
Well, it's this isn't, but yeah, but this isn't solar. This is a different topic, right?
Hmm?
Batteries could be used without solar applicability.
Absolutely.
Batteries used for storing solar.
So this is kind of a separate.
Batteries used for storing solar energy.
Yeah, it should be just storing energy, whether it be solar or not.
Oh, I don't like that because this entire section is about solar energy.
True.
I have no problem keeping it in there. I just thought it was redundant, but that's fine.
Yeah. It is a little bit because we call this section solar energy equipment, and the state statute's called solar energy collectors. And because I think when we wrote this thing, people didn't have batteries. They just had these collectors up there. And so the confusion is the idea of equipment. When you look at the definition of equipment in our ordinance here, it really refers to collectors.
I think it could be read to include batteries as well, but rather than get into all those weeds, I think if you want to go with an option, option one does clearly carve out batteries for solar energy, mm-hmm. regardless of whether it's solar energy equipment or not. And it may be redundant, but like John says, it clarifies that you're speaking strictly about batteries and where they go. So I think the option presented is clear enough about having to get into the weeds.
Well, that's what I was going to suggest too, because we use the word equipment really to define collectors. Our definition of equipment and the setback kind of refers to collectors. So I agree with being a little bit redundant on this.
Yeah, Jim, I'm a little confused on that though. It's that, I mean, as Dennis was talking about, potentially you could have batteries used for electrical storage without solar.
Without the panels.
Yeah, without the solar panels.
It's not required.
That's common.
If you want to put a slash in electrical, I don't think I have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. Even if the provision is dedicated to solar, I don't think we need to. I think we can include that about it being a big deal. Solar slash electrical. That's just my opinion. John may have an opinion on that.
No, it's just that I think, to Joe's point, I mean, this whole section is specific to solar, and now we're talking about a potential different application other than solar for the batteries.
Storage batteries, basically.
To the extent that we had one sentence about wind energy in this section and we pulled it out to its own section in our other syntactical changes. So now we're going to stick batteries into solar, and we just pulled wind out.
Yep.
In many cases, the panels are with the battery technology, but they don't have to be. Right. They could be totally separate. Mm-hmm. It's just a storage device.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if we're all in agreement, at least this is the direction we want to go. Joe, do you want to take on just where it should be now located?
But again, I would urge you all not to make this more complicated. Mm-hmm. Let's stick with the wording. It's limited to solar. Electrical storage is, I guess, an emerging issue. Can we deal with that later when it becomes more pronounced or relevant and just go with this?
Well, yes and no, I agree and I disagree.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to get this through and keep it with what we're discussing, but I don't want to wait for a crisis until we address batteries in our ordinance. We know it's coming eventually. I think we should address it.
So, John, if somebody wanted to install batteries without solar, would they need to go through an application process based on current code? Well, I mean, I think inverters are becoming, more and more common, and I think they get bigger and bigger and bigger. And so I think, to Dennis's point, I think they become a big storage device as opposed to, some of the smaller options that exist today.
Yeah, John, we...
It would definitely require an electrical permit. I'm sure that would get kicked back to me at some point.
We
I didn't realize they were putting those batteries in.
Yeah, we were approached by somebody who wanted to put just a battery in, and the idea of that it was going to be emergency battery without a generator, just a battery, and it was going to be charged off our regular system, and it's just going to be a battery sitting there. So, I think there are people wandering around, making that as a business proposal now.
It's getting to the point where the cost of the batteries are starting to drop to the point where you're getting close to putting in a whole house generator.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so yeah. So Jim, and we could do what you had recommended, but again, like I said, we're then kind of putting our head in the sand around this potential other issue.
Deal with solar tonight and next meeting, and somebody take on the responsibility of drafting something for batteries, and we'll discuss it next time.
Makes sense. Thank you.
Let's get on the record who's going to be responsible for that.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll be happy to do it again if you'd like to.
Please.
I won't wait 2 months this time. So.
All right. Thank you, John. Okay. So option one, amended to include side and rear, is kind of what we're proposing. To Jim's point, this is discussion tonight. If that's the direction that we're going to go in, then we would formalize it next meeting. So do I have a motion that that's the direction we want to go?
I mean, I don't see why we can't vote on this right now if we're all in agreement.
Yeah, we still have to go through the formal text amendment next meeting.
Let's have a motion to instruct staff with the way to go. Mm-hmm. Let's put off voting on making a report and reviewing until it gets on the agenda in case the public's interested on that.
Sure. I'll go and make a motion that we instruct staff to write or do what's necessary to propose a text amendment for discussion during our next meeting related to option one, with the change to include rear in addition to side.
I second it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, thanks, guys.
John, I can do that since you've already
I actually already made the changes sitting here, so I can email them to you.
Yep. And then Beth, John will come back next meeting also to have a follow-up discussion on the specific to just batteries. All right. Next item is the land use plan. There had been discussion a few meetings ago about potentially us getting more involved in some of the recommendations from the land use plan. There's a summary at the back of the plan that talks about all the recommendations throughout and assigns responsibility. And planning and zoning is not specifically named anywhere as far as having that responsibility. These are more staff assignments. Many of them fall within John's area, so potentially I guess those would be kind of the primary targets if there's anything that we would want to assist him with. But if you go back to, I think, 6.6-3 is the summary at the very back of all of the various kind of action items that were recommended to look at. To Jim's point in last discussion, we're not decision makers here. We're not at any point of being able to say which of these absolutely should be or should not be worked on. It's more for us to just develop a point of view if there's anything that we would think that we should be involved in, and then get council's concurrence before putting any real active work behind it.
Are you looking for a discussion?
Yeah, I think that's...
I went through... Obviously, I was pretty involved with the writing of this. And, in the last day or two, I went through and read this again from cover to cover. And, I have to admit, I think Curie Beach is doing a great job when you read this land use plan. And most of the recommendations are relatively minor. I mean, they're pretty minor recommendations. There might be one or two that could be taken, fairly... seriously, but I think most of them are relatively minor. There's some aesthetics issues, stuff like that, but I just, as I was going through here trying to think of what we could get involved with to try to spend a little bit of time and make some recommendations on, I was struggling to find. I don't know, John, do you have any ideas what we might?
Only that I thought it would be great exercise for you guys to read through some of the surveys and find out what all the 952 respondents brought up about our zoning and how much they like the way Curie Beach is, and then go back through our ordinance and try to clean up.
Mm-hmm. Certainly developing the historic district dealt with a lot with a number of the issues here. But there are basically this summarizes those 900 responses, mm-hmm. but doesn't go into the detail of all 900. So there might be some gems in there, which I have not gone through all 900 response, obviously.
Well, there has been one that's, at least my understanding is almost practically completed, and that's the one on 4.45, the ditch locations. because when this was generated, we were having trouble with ditches being blocked and stormwater backing up all the way into town. And the fire division has met with Sunny Point and gotten permission to do surveys of all of the ditches periodically throughout the year, with just by notifying them that they're going to go into the area, and then notify Sunny Point if there's any blockages that's over and above what they're going to be doing also. We've surveyed all of the ditches and the roads next to them and determined what size vehicles can and can't get down alongside the ditches in case there's a fire or anything like that. So it's a fairly comprehensive survey. You've seen it, right, John?
Yes, sir.
Is there anything you think we need to add to it? It was fairly complete.
So, John, is there anything within these recommendations that's on your radar that, you know, again, we could potentially be assisting with?
I can read through them and let you know something next month on that.
Okay.
And it's not just in Section 6 also. If you look at Section 5, there's some recommendations in Section 5 also. I mean, the only thing that I see that kind of, and they really kind of touch on it, but it is something that jumps out, we've already talked about it, is, you know, the green issue. You know, say electrical chargers and any other type of green things that we may want to think about that's not really addressed here. But, I think we're doing a great job, actually.
I'd like to bring one more thing up, just for information of people who may or not know, but the language says, as far as wastewater treatment, that the town of Carolina Beach, the town of Curie Beach is the joint owner of the wastewater plant.
Right.
It isn't Carolina Beach's alone, so they can't really dictate to, well, they're not supposed to be able to dictate to us, as it's supposed to be negotiated.
Yep.
And that's what the meeting is every year, to work out the money amount. And because in the past, and it's been probably at least 10 years, they weren't very above board when they tried to evenly divide up the problems with the wastewater treatment plant. And the way that they're getting billed out, I can't imagine that there isn't going to have to be an expansion of it sooner or later, and that expansion is going to have to be paid by the whole island, both of us.
Gotcha. And is 100% of Carolina Beach being dealt with that way? Because I know we have alternatives, obviously.
Yeah. Our alternatives is saved us more than once.
Yeah. And that's the Matsu land?
No, the lagoon.
The lagoon. Lagoon.
Well, it's on Matsu.
It's Matsu land, yeah. All right, any other comment on this before we let John come back to us?
We're going to look at the 900 and some odd answers and see if there's any gems in there that might we want to consider.
And John's going to go back through it again and see if there's anything that he feels like we could help him with.
I mean, so, you know, throughout this thing, they also talk about mixed use, but we already have two mixed use areas. You know, we have K, and then we have the historic district, which are both mixed use. So I think we've addressed actually several things in here.
All right. Any other discussion for tonight on this topic?
Maybe. When we sign a consistency statement, right, it says in there, in accordance with the land use plan, right? So if you go to page, or One of the suggestions in section six, right? It's called discouraging hazardous development. It talks about considering an ordinance to provide additional regulatory standards defining managing and using structures that are inappropriate for construction within the 100-year floodplain, erosion plain, blah, 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 blah. Considering our discussion on batteries that we just had, right? How could we say that we're following this policy 3.1i or 3.I.1, whatever it is? You know, it's there's a lot in this plan. And if you find a sentence like I just found, that really limits us in a lot of ways to what we want to do without addressing it. Because here it's saying, consider amending ordinances to provide additional standards. Well, I guess we are providing additional standards defining and managing. We're just saying it's got to be mm-hmm. on the side or the back, outside of the setback. So, but there's a lot in here. So when we sign one of the statements. Mm-hmm.
Well, we actually look at 3.1F2 about regulating when underground utilities are required.
That's all that one, yeah.
I mean, that's an interesting one. I'm not even sure if we can do that.
Well.
You know, because, you know, the issues about regulating utilities is that local governments can't do that. So, no, there's some interesting things in here, so.
I don't know if you're reading in the back section or in the front. The underground utility one is the town shall encourage the placement of utilities underground.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we went through a whole exercise with that and tried to do that 2 years ago and it got nowhere.
Well, it's,
with the utility. It's not
it
cost
anything
effective.
But money to do it. Right. So I mean, it was way beyond what you know we could spend.
Well, it's not stating that they must be moved underground.
No.
It's that we should work towards.
It says you should try.
Encourage the placement. All right. So if any new ones are being put in, we should encourage that they go underground.
Well, the whole utility thing is if you put it underground, it's like 10 times the cost. Somebody's mm-hmm. got to bear the cost. Somebody's going to pay for it. The taxpayers or, you know, a grant mm-hmm. or something. Utilities like to do the overhead. They can put the power back on when we have hurricanes a lot faster.
Yep.
So those were the discussions we had with utilities, and that you know, the number of things that unforeseen things that we're going to run into, we couldn't even put a price around it.
Gotcha.
That's a lot of zeros.
All right.
Okay.
I don't know what's in here.
All righty. Well, again, we'll leave this, Beth, as a continuation item for next month. All right. Moving on. So the proposed text amendment for the SIC codes. Sure, that's yours.
I'm making great progress. I'm actually as far as I can go without the final verbiage from the permitted use sections. So I know we have a discussion coming forward on permitted uses, and we'll be taking them back to town council at the next council meeting to discuss with them. Council believed that there would be some community feedback on that we may have to address or incorporate. So I have gone as far as I can right now on the SIC incorporation. Everything else is done, except for those sections on permitted uses.
Okay.
So I'm on a holding pattern.
All right. Any questions on that? All right. Moving into new business, which is kind of a continuation of that topic. In advising council that we have the proposed text amendments ready, then the public hearing needed to be scheduled. In anticipation of the public hearing, council was concerned with the amount of potential questions coming from the public, given the topic and all the changes that were being proposed. So we agreed to provide them with a summary of our logic behind every change And that's that memo, that August 3 memo that's been put together that we want to kind of talk about now and ensure that we haven't missed anything. Council has advised that even though the original intent was just to have this provided to council for their use so that they could field questions and also ask questions in advance just to get clarification, council has recommended this actually become part of the public record. So you'll have this supplementing the text amendments, giving general public, you know, the opportunity of understanding why the changes are being made.
That's right. It'll be published on council's agenda.
And so the, you know, main intent here from a just an overall summary standpoint really is to just ensure consistency of terminology and definitions and accurately reflect what's really feasible within the district going forward. You know, John had educated us around certain districts that have basically been built out altogether, and some of the allowed opportunities aren't even possible any longer because there's just no land available to do it. In other cases, we had some outdated terms. Other cases, we had situations where we just didn't feel like, again, it really, even though there might be some small opportunity, it just wasn't consistent with what was typically happening within that particular zone. So, you know, I don't think there's anything hugely controversial here, but it's a lot for people to digest, and so therefore it could raise questions.
I did have one question for the attorney. I remember that when you have a zoning change, it requires a different set of hearings or something like that. Changing uses, does that fall within zoning changes or
well,
not?
You need to focus on the chapters. These are Chapter 15 text amendments.
Okay.
Chapter 15 is zoning. Zoning is a development regulation, and Chapter 160D says if you're going to amend a development regulation, PZC reviews and reports and consistency statement. Council has a legislative hearing, considers acts, and they have a consistency statement. So these fall squarely within those requirements.
Yeah.
And then just, you know, from a chronological standpoint, Joe and I took an opportunity of drafting this, and then council.
I took it apart.
Sorry?
I took it apart.
Yeah, and then council had the opportunity of providing edits, so that's kind of the final version that we're reviewing tonight. There were some changes made also to the text amendments. Just as an example, we had one that was kind of a run-on where it was supposed to be in two sections, and that was delineated. We had one that did not show the full history of all the changes being made, so that has now been updated. And that's all reflected in these updated text amendments.
Do you want to mention light retail at this point, or are you going to work any way to
it? Yeah, thank you for that reminder. When Joe and I were drafting this explanation, we really struggled with what we had come up with as far as light retail. We're kind of creating a new definition of which, you know, it was kind of nebulous. There was already miscellaneous retail that was available to us that we didn't choose to do. What council has suggested is rather than make that change here, since these were already published, was to have the existing definition used for the legislative hearing, and then we will just let council know when they're getting ready to vote that we have one minor change and substitute some language that would refer to it more as miscellaneous retail than light retail.
That's correct. You've already reviewed and reported on these, so they've left your jurisdiction. They've gone on the council. But council certainly is going to consider tweaks when they act on these proposed amendments. So what I suggested is a simple piece of paper. You and Joe, I guess, are going to present to council with respect to this amendment.
Yeah, Joe won't be there.
Won't be.
And what I also suggest is you just have a piece of paper, two lines. One line is the current definition, which I think it only shows up in B2, is that correct?
That's it, yeah, at one place.
And the second line would be what you preferred to say, additional thought, reflection, we would recommend, if the rest of the commission agrees, we would recommend that council instruct staff, or we would recommend that when you act on these text amendments, that you include this recommended revision.
Okay. And as usual, I'll draft that and then provide that to you in advance for comment, okay?
Okay, thank you.
And that recommended revision does agree with the definition section that we already have.
Right.
So can you talk a little bit about what the changes would be to make sure the commission as a whole agrees with you? I mean, right now it's light retail business, C, KBC, 1502010, retail miscellaneous, and then you have a bunch of six.
Yeah, let me
page 104,
try to find that.
1528020 B2.
This is B2.
That word light.
And it should be up on the screen now.
Yeah, the we had changed it to light retail businesses, and what we're proposing is that it would just be miscellaneous retail businesses per KBC 15.02.010.
So you just changed
retail, comma, miscellaneous.
Just changing a couple of words at the very beginning?
Yes, sir.
Sit code stay the same?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I don't see that as a major deal, but I do think you need to get counsel to do that for you.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, I'll draft what you suggested and get it to you. So, Tony, any thoughts on this? Are you good with what we've come up with?
I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm a little nervous about miscellaneous. It's a minor issue. As an economist, when you talk about miscellaneous and SIC codes, basically they're SIC codes that can't be placed in other SIC code categories. But I don't think that matters for this particular situation.
Yeah, I mean, what was kind of strange is that we ended up terming it light retail, but then we referred to all the miscellaneous
mm-hmm.
language and SIC codes
right.
pertaining exactly. to miscellaneous. So, Jim, any thoughts on this?
No.
Okay.
That's good.
All right, so... So we still need a motion to approve as presented before this gets moved on to council.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Thank you.
Just for clarity's sake, that memo's good as it is. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
So Beth can post it. She doesn't. You've got it now.
Yes.
All right, that concludes the agenda. Anybody have anything else they want to talk about this evening? Mm-hmm. Anything new for next month other than what we've already talked about?
I just have a quick question for John. I sent an email about that Marlin tackle that they put their pylons out there in the street there, and they're still doing it.
So I went out and learned a lot from
them. Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, they do have that 15 or 30 minute parking in front of them, but I mean, we don't permit people to do that, so they do that. And then they're trying to keep people from parking in front of them, obviously, but I would assume the 15 or 30 minute would satisfy the requirements. I mean, it's just a minor issue.
Okay. All right. Well, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Yeah, I'll make that motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
All right. Thanks, everybody.